This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, and even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes to industry trends and everything in between. Looking at our first in the news article this week, the last Boeing 747 will soon roll off of Boeing's production line. Once the finishing touches are put, the final Boeing 747-8F will be delivered to Atlas Air, the cargo carrier's final delivery of the aircraft type and marking the end of an iconic half-century-long era in the aviation industry. While the end of the 747 was foreseen for a more distant future, the introductions of new-generation twin-engined revolutionaries and the collapse in demand for travel during the pandemic made the end come sooner than Boeing and aviation enthusiasts would have preferred. Paired with rising fuel costs, the Boeing 747 was no longer as economical as it once was, and only a small handful of airlines still operate passenger flights using the 747.
Moving on to our next headline, Boeing and Northrop are to join a White House-backed advanced manufacturing program. Additive Manufacturing Forward, or AM Forward, is organized by the nonprofit Applied Science and Technology Research Organization of America, also called Astro America. This is a voluntary program and was unveiled by President Joe Biden in May. Additive manufacturing technology allows complex shapes to be built in layers from particles of plastic or metal. Additive manufacturing has shown to reduce part lead times and material costs by 90% and cut energy use in half.
Looking at our next headline, in honor of the 100th anniversary of Bessie Coleman, the first Black woman to earn a pilot's license, American Airlines operated a flight out of Dallas with an all-Black, all-female crew. From the pilots and flight attendants to cargo team members and aviation maintenance technicians, the women operated and took charge of every aspect of the flight from Dallas to Phoenix. The airline hosted the Bessie Coleman Aviation All-Stars Tour last week to celebrate the anniversary of Coleman earning her pilot's license in 1921. To honor Coleman's legacy, her great-niece, Gigi Coleman, was hosted by American Airlines on the flight.
And now for our final headline, a mechanical failure causes a plane to crash on an Orange County roadway. On August 19, 2022, a 1956 Cessna 182 suffered mechanical failure, which caused the pilot to make an emergency landing on a street in Orlando, Florida. A quote from the Florida Highway Patrol incident report said, quote, the aircraft landed onto the south shoulder and partially on the driveway of a residence. The aircraft's wings struck two palm trees and the front of the aircraft caused minor damage to the driveway wall of the residence. The pilot sustained minor injuries in the crash but was treated at the scene. So now moving into the bulk of our episode, we wanted to take this episode to recap Ash's experience at the 2022 Air Venture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So to kick things off, Ashley, can you just tell me a little bit more about what AirVenture is and what is the fuss all about?
Yeah, so AirVenture is put on by EAA, which is a international organization, the Experimental Aircraft Association. So, you know, they've really evolved to support all types of airplanes, but originally EAA supported experimental aircraft, so those that are not certified. So it has really evolved into this air show, but also, you know, in the literal sense, but also a trade show where vendors come and, you know, airplane OEMs and really anything ever aviation airplane related, to the world's largest gathering of aviators and airplanes and pilots. During the week of AirVenture, Whitman Regional Airport, which is where it is held, is the world's busiest airport, as far as, you know, arrivals and departures, because so many people fly in to the show. That's sort of another big, fun and exciting part of it. I didn't fly into the show this year, but I have in years past, and it is like a experience like no other. It is the traffic, you know, that you're watching is unreal, and you're lined up, you know, 10s, 20s, 30s, you know, airplanes deep, getting into the pattern. And there are three dots on the main runway that they put everyone onto just because it's so busy. They just land everyone on the same runway. And there are three dots so that they can land three airplanes at the same time on the same runway. So they'll tell the first guy in the pattern, land on the green dot so that his wheels don't touch down until he's hit the green dot all the way at the end of the runway. And then the guy behind him is on the yellow dot. And then the third guy behind him is on the purple dot. So it's just like really intense and really scary. And one thing that's really cool about being at the show is if you walk up to the flight line, they have these big speakers out where you can hear ATC talking to all the pilots, like as they're coming in for a landing. And so it's really funny to listen to them, you know, giving, you know, information to people who are still in the pattern, but also the pilots who are coming in for a landing, and like encouraging them like, nope, 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 all the way to the green dot, like don't touch down, keep going. And so it's like very high stress, very high intensity, but it is really like a once in a lifetime. Well, obviously you can do it a bunch of times, but it's just such a unique experience. And that's just flying in.
So you said that you flew in.
I have in years past, yeah.
Okay. So what was your personal experience with that? Like the first time you flew in?
I think, so I remember not like knowing what to expect, because the first time that I flew in was also the first year that I was attending. So I didn't even know like what the grounds were like or anything. And I remember we flew in, whenever I go, I always arrive on a Sunday. That's just sort of always how it's fell. And the show officially starts on Monday. But, you know, arrivals start as early as, you know, Thursday, Friday, the week before, just because it fills up so quick and you can camp under your airplane. And if you're into that sort of thing, so like camping spots fill up quick, and there's a whole, you know, back end of all that stuff. But that is just to say that I had no idea what to expect, right? So I remember flying in, and I can remember early on in the traffic pattern getting in to final approach over the lake. Oshkosh is right on the water, sort of. I think it's very close to the water, so that your final approach is over the lake that's next to it, Lake Winnebago. And they're telling us to like look for certain airplanes and traffic around us. And it's like your head is on a constant swivel, like having no idea where these guys are. And sometimes they'll tell you like, be like, oh, there's a Mooney at 1 o'clock. And he'll be like, or whoever is talking to you on ETC, he'll be like, hey, Mooney, rock your wings. So that like, you know, like who you should be following or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was a very cool experience to experience, like being in such a high traffic situation. Like, that is so rare, even, you know, in an airliner or something. Like, it's not really that intense.
Now, were you flying or was your dad flying?
My dad was. So we,
okay.
Whenever we've flown in with a family friend of ours. He has a small airplane, and so we've flown in with him, which is a fun experience. But yeah, being a passenger is just as intense, because everyone's looking around for. It's like, who's the, you know, who can spot, you know, whatever's around you that you've got to know. So the more eyes, the better, basically.
It reminds me of really bad rush hour traffic, but yes. Fun. But yeah. Fun and cool, right? Yep. Like you have to you get to look at planes, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
That's more exciting than, I don't know, sitting behind a school bus on a highway or something.
Yeah. So then, you know, you land on your dot and you, everyone always talks about like their landing too, because it's such a high, I mean, it's just another landing, but there are always so many eyes on you from so many different perspectives. I mean, you've got the other airplanes who are behind you or in front of you or whatever, and you've got all the attendees who are sitting there just watching the arrivals. EAA does live streams of the runway, so there are people across the world watching online. So,
oh my God.
It's always just, I mean, and no one's going to, you know, obviously no one's identifying, you know, your airplane or anything, but it's just funny that there's this narrative from pilots who fly in, like, I had a great landing this year. My landing this year wasn't so great. And so it's always funny to hear about that.
So the landing is really the start of the air show.
It is. Oh, yeah, it definitely is. So, yeah, I can remember landing and taxiing in, and they park majority of the airplanes, especially if you're camping, right along the runway, right along the grass next to it. So I remember just being in shock at how, like, the sheer number of airplanes that were there, just like lined up, tents under them, and like people making like campsites and stuff. And people, that's a very common way for people to stay at the show, is to camp under the wing of their airplane. You know, you walk 10, 15 minutes to shower and get food, and that's your life for the week, is just camping under your airplane. It's a very unique experience, especially for those who, you know, are into that sort of thing. Camping is not my thing. you know, at the end of a long day of walking around the air show, I have to admit I like a bed and I like a real shower. But, you know, people rave about the experience. I mean, I've heard that, you know, the sense of community within the campsites, even ones that are off show grounds for like the trailers and RVs and stuff. The sense of community is really high, and you know, you meet hundreds of people. And so, yeah, I feel like even the stuff like outside of show grounds, like, was enough of a surprise already just at the beginning. Like, yeah, wow, like, this is crazy. Like, this is really how serious these people take it.
That's very cool. I only see pictures of AirVenture, and I see the campsites, you know, and I see the aerial views of all the planes that are there. But I wanted to ask you for your personal experience, because that's not something I feel like you can just look at a picture and feel or hear about, you know. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. I can't say if I would like to be the pilot flying in. I feel like it would be a little bit nerve-wracking. Maybe if I had been flying for like 5 or 6 years. Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you definitely need like your most experienced person. Like,
For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. Big fun. Reminds me of a Coachella or a huge music festival, but for airplanes.
Yes, that is definitely what it feels like. You're absolutely right.
How many previous times have you been to AirVenture?
This was my 7th year.
7th year. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I didn't know that you had already gone 6 times.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is my 7th.
So throughout your 7 years, have you seen any developments or changes between the first year you went and the most recent time?
I think, okay, well, what was new this year was Chick-fil-A was there.
What?
Chick-fil-A was there. And every day the line for Chick-fil-A was like hundreds of people deep. So that was new.
Wait, but another thing that was new is something that you mentioned earlier before we started recording. The attendance, the sheer amount of people.
Yes.
Was new,
the
right?
The sheer people was new. I can remember walking around the show on Sunday before technically the show even started. It was really just vendors who were there and media. And I can remember just sort of casually talking with people, and people were like, it feels like it's bumping already. And then Monday morning, it was just packed, like from the start. Monday morning, gates opened. So you could definitely feel like the buzz. And then, yes, it definitely was a record-breaking year. So EAA, after the fact, posted that there were They told their attendance to around 650,000, which was a record-breaking number of people. Over 10,000 aircraft were present. 5,000 volunteers, so there are plenty of people who volunteer to make the show sort of run. 803 exhibitors, which is a crazy, crazy amount of people and companies. And the what I thought was also really interesting was the economic impact for the Oshkosh region was $170 million, which is just insane. I mean, you got to figure all these people coming in, you've got to feed them, you've got to fuel their airplanes, you've got to, you know, all the everything that it takes to run the actual showgrounds and restaurants in the area and really all that good stuff, hotels, cars, rental cars, just like an incredible, incredible push for, you know, the area, which is, I think, a part of it that not a lot of people think about. The impact on the locals and stuff. So, definitely this year was record breaking. The show didn't go on in 2020 because of COVID. And I think I didn't attend last year in 2021. I was still sort of, you know, playing it safe and being cautious. But I remember hearing this year anecdotally from people who went last year that, it was good, but it wasn't like it had been in years past. I think a lot of people were feeling the way that I was. So I think this year a lot of people, were just excited to be back. And, I'll admit it felt normal. It felt, you know, like it did the pre-COVID days and everyone was, you know, bumping and it was busy and everything felt normal again.
So do you think that excitement that people had withheld because of COVID, do you think that made the show any more exciting or any different than previous years?
I think yes and no. I think yes, definitely, just because the nature of like people who were out and socializing again and, you know, like getting back to big events like this and stuff, right? Like this was probably the first big event that, you know, a lot of people had been to in a lot of years, you know, myself included. But I think also you have to remember like the population that we're dealing with, like a pilot or someone who is interested in aviation is like a certain kind of person and like they geek out on this kind of stuff. So, like meeting like hundreds of people within the span of 5 days that have the same interests as you, or you want to buy their product, or you're interested in their airplane, or whatever it may be, like that conversation just comes so easily that like you could just tell like there's a certain energy in the air.
Yeah.
And like morale was high and people were having a good time. And yeah, I don't know. It's like a certain energy.
Mm-hmm. I would love to experience that. I feel like it would be so cool. I mean, I've been to smaller air shows that are like closer to us in terms of geographic location, and they definitely don't have the whole thing with the three dots and everything like that. It's just like people drive in and they go. But even then at those little air shows, it's just like very cool to experience something with a stranger you've never met in your life. But you're able to bond over some, like watching a plane or something, or like watching acrobatics, the aerial acrobatics and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know, like you said, I'm sure that the energy is only like magnified by whatever 650,000 people. That's very cool. It's like, I can't even imagine how it must have felt. I'm kind of living vicariously for you.
It is. It's such a unique experience too, because it's like you can see photos or watch videos or whatever of like these cool, you know, airplanes online or whatever. But, you know, you could also walk the flight line and see the home built or the experimental airplanes or the warbirds. And, you know, you have a question about it or something, odds are the owner's standing right there next to it, or, you know, they'll be around at some point that day or whatever.
Yeah.
You just chat about anything and you know, you never know what opportunity it could bring, or, you know, networking or whatever to it.
Right.
It's really unique.
Yeah. And obviously I'm sure if you ask the owners or whoever about anything there about airplanes, they would be able to talk for hours on end.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm sure you were extremely exhausted by the end of it.
Oh, I was. I mean, you're putting in like miles every day because it's a huge show. There's so much to see. There's so much that you want to try and fit in the time that you're there. But yeah, I mean, I would always end every day. So every day the air show would begin at 2:30, like the air show proper with like actual aerobatics and stuff like that. So 2:30 every day the air show would start. So I would always try and make my way over to the flight line later in the day. And it's cool. You just sort of, you know, sit on the grass and watch the air show. And it's a fun way to end the day. Mm-hmm. Every year on Wednesday night, they do a night air show, which is cool.
That's very cool.
We didn't go to it this year, but I've seen it a couple times in years past. And it's such a cool thing that like you don't – like, I mean, I'm sure there are obviously other night air shows in the world, but like – I don't know. It's such a cool like environment too to like be in, because when you're sitting on the grass like watching these air shows, like you are in the middle of all the parked airplanes.
Yeah.
So like you're sitting under the wing to like get in some shade, or you know, and then someone else comes and sits under the wing with you and you chat with someone and stuff like that. So it's just like a cool atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always something to see, basically. So, right. Like, during the day, you can walk around the vendors or, you know, see the cool airplanes. Or if you are interested in new avionics for your airplane, you can go buy them. Or if you need a new pair of Bose headsets, you can go to the Bose vendor. Or like if you want a new Cirrus Vision Jet, you could go. They'll sell you one there.
right on the spot.
Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know, like anything you could ever want to do. If you want a t-shirt or airplane earrings, like they are there. Like, everything, books, the sectional charts, like everything, anything you could ever want.
So you're talking about all the things they have and all the things that you can do there.
Right.
But what was your favorite thing this year that you did or saw or bought?
Did I buy anything? Oh, I did buy a t-shirt this year. I've actually never bought a t-shirt. I did buy one this year.
Long overdue.
I know. I don't know why I never have. I just never have. But I did buy a t-shirt this year. So that was unique to me.
Good.
My favorite thing. Well, I think – okay, so I have two answers. One is this was my first year that I attended since I have really gotten into photography. So it was my COVID project that I bought a nice camera and got a nice lens and all that good stuff. So – my COVID project has finally paid off and I was able to photograph an air show. So that was super cool. I got some really, really cool photos out of it. Like I was like amazing myself as I was taking these photos. I was like, oh my God, like this is unreal. Like this is so cool. So that was definitely a cool experience. And I will say the other thing that was very unique was I was able to attend the press conference for Kodiak, which is an OEM bush plane type airplane, announced their brand new Kodiak 900. So they have, so far they've just had the Kodiak 100. And then about, I think a year and a half ago, Daher acquired them and they came to the show this year with a completely certified Kodiak 900. So that was honestly the big news of the show. But that was very, very cool. I, you know, was able to see it in person and chat with some of the Kodiak guys, and just a very, very cool sort of experience to be a part of. It was, like I said, the big news of the show and a gorgeous airplane. And yeah, very, very exciting stuff like that.
Yeah. I love hearing you talk about the media side of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about this all the time, I feel like, on the podcast, but I know the most about, like, the airplane itself. Like, I never really think about, like, what goes into these big announcements or, like, what it feels like to be in the media room when these announcements happen. So that's very cool. I like that perspective.
Yeah. It creates a cool buzz, you know, sort of among the media folk to sort of compare notes on, like, what are you seeing and what's, you know, coming up this weekend, stuff like that. But it is, that's a big part of the show for those who cover media is, you know, the couple weeks, months leading up to it is what's going to be the big news of the show this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was also the 50th anniversary of the Vans RV-12. So that's an experimental airplane. Well, RV-12 is a small little tail dragger, I think it's technically classified as, which is a big, big home-built airplane. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who home-build their airplanes will do some sort of RV package, an RV-8, an RV-10, or an RV-12. So that was really cool. So the first air show on Monday, Vans actually kicked it off with a 50 airplane formation.
No way.
There were 50, and like I didn't really, so while the air show is going on, those speakers are playing with like announcers and like people talking and stuff, which is cool. Someone, you know, like narrating and moderating the air show, and I was like half listening or whatever, but I was, you know, like talking to people or doing things or whatever. And I remember seeing them fly over, and I like counted really quickly because I was like, oh my god, there's like, it feels really large, like there's a ton of RV-12 up there. And I was like, oh my god, there are 50. Like, I was like, that can't be real. So yeah, like that was really insane too.
And you saw it with your own eyes.
Yeah, with my own little eyes. Like it was crazy. Like 50 of them up there in formation. Yeah. And they were like perfectly in formation too. Like,
oh, I love that.
Like not an inch away from like, I don't know, like being out of line. It was so, so cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was cool.
So throughout the whole week, Ashley, I was living vicariously through your personal social media, your tweets, the photos that you texted me. And I have to take this opportunity to plug our TikTok because she posted a little montage of some B-roll from the show. You can find Ashley's montage/B-roll at Above the Wing Pod on TikTok. And I'm sure we'll be posting a lot more cool photos thanks to your COVID project coming to fruition.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that too. But as always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening.